Alrighty, this is Miss Darnell, Jean Darnell, Awakened Librarian, and I am interviewing today a wonderful friend and colleague of mine here at Dessau Middle School. I have the one and the infamous Miss Natori Blue, and she teaches sixth grade English for our campus. And I recently discovered that she wrote a book during the pandemic, and it is titled Caleb and the Quarantine. And so I have her today in the library, and we're going to do a quick little interview and get to know a little bit more about her, the book, why she wrote it. I have a whole slew of questions. So buckle down and get ready, my friends. First and foremost, when you wrote Caleb and the Quarantine, did you ever hit a writer's block? Or first, before we even get to that, tell us a little bit about it so our audience can know exactly what they're walking into with this wonderful picture book.
Okay, thank you. This was such a personal thing for me because I have a 12-year-old son. He was 10 at the time, and he was struggling socially with the pandemic and having to be at home, not being able to be at school, and having to readjust or having to adjust to all of that. And so usually when my children, when I see them struggling with something like that, not only do I talk to them about it, I try to find literature for them to read
Right,
that they
so they can
can,
process their feelings.
and kind of do that on their own a little bit as well. And so I couldn't find anything. And so I'm a believer. I feel like God dropped that idea on me and I ran with it. I thought it was a great idea. I saw it all from the very beginning, exactly how I wanted to do it and go about it. And so that's why I wrote it.
Yeah, we really didn't have anything in our present time to kind of go to as a resource,
Not
and
then, yeah.
it's just like the old saying go, if you don't see it out in the world, make it so it can be out there. So I applaud you for doing that. Did you hit any hurdles when you were creating this book that kind of, put you at a standstill or made you think about things a little bit differently? Anything along those lines?
Not that I can recall. This is a very unique experience. I love to write. I've written a lot of different things, poems and songs and short stories and things like that. But, and I've had writer's block, of course. But with this particular book, I stayed up two nights in a row. I think the first night until about 6 o'clock in the morning, the next night until about 7 in the morning, and it was done. So it came about pretty quickly and easily.
You had the background
It
already
was.
there. It just kind of poured out of you, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Perfect. If you did you have any personal connections to the pandemic? Did you lose any family members or were you directly affected in your neighborhood? What was your experience through the whole COVID-19 pandemic?
So I had a lot of friends that lost a lot of people. I didn't personally lose any immediate people, any family members, but again, I did see my children really struggling with it. Some of my students before everything shut down and we had to go home. And then once we were in it, just the reports from friends and having to pray for and reach out to friends who had lost a lot of people. It was quite traumatizing for a lot of people, and so it took a lot to just endure and to try to push through. And so of course this book was one of the ways that I was able to feel like I was helping and contributing in some way
Right.
to that.
It was hard for me to process. I was actually laid off right. Let's see, the pandemic shut the world down March 2020, and I was let go July 2020.
Oh
And
my
it was a
gosh.
shock for me because I have never been laid off ever in my 20 years.
Wow.
And so that was a struggle. I had to revamp a lot. And going from being on the front lines as an educator and then having to homeschool and educate my son, I had one that was a graduating senior. And the other one that was starting sixth grade, and it was a hot mess sometimes in the household. So yeah, it changed my world. One of my high school friends growing up, she lost her mom immediately
Oh
to
my
the
gosh.
pandemic. So
that was the only connection that I had. And then it was turmoil in our household on who was going to get the shot and who wasn't going to get the shot.
Right.
So that division there, it definitely changed. And I saw a change in our student body once I came back onto the campus. A lot of our kids were shell-shocked and kind of forgotten during the pandemic because right. None of us was prepared to go from face-to-face to internet and Zoom. I grew to hate the word Zoom. So I definitely saw that, and there was a huge gap in participation from my students. But I ended up having to be creative because my graduating seniors were just like, we miss you. Is there a way we can connect? So Zoom ended up, even though I hated it in the beginning, it ended up saving the connections that I have with my students who are graduating. So when you were writing this book, what is, I know you self-published it, and I would love for you to talk a little bit about that process that you went through for self-publishing. So can you give us any details or insights into what it was like, or would you advocate for doing this for anybody who, like you, had a eureka idea and decided to run with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it is the way to go. I did a lot of research, and I did send out letters and try to get my book published with some of the big wigs. And I was not taken on by anyone. And so I was pretty discouraged initially because I felt like it was a great book and a great idea. And I spent a lot of time deciding who I wanted my illustrator to be. And, you know, I thought I had taken a lot of time and put a lot of thought into a good product, and I was rejected. And so I did some research about that, and I saw that a lot of renowned writers now, when they first started out, they had the same experience.
Exactly.
They sent their books to people, and it was no, 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 no. And so they decided to self-publish, and you know, now they've got everybody knocking at their doors. And so I was very encouraged by that, and it was difficult. There was a moment, I had a moment of breaking down and crying and just, oh my God, this is so overwhelming, because there are a lot of steps to it. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot of back and forth, a lot of research, a lot of, you know, just takes a lot to do this. And so, you know, I did have my moment, but I think with anything great, I mean, there's some difficulty to it, which is why everyone is not doing it. And so I absolutely say if there are, you know, if the people that are out there and established don't see the value and don't, you know, accept what you're doing, the work you're doing, if you can self-publish, if you can get it out there yourself, do it, you know, and there we have that ability now.
I love that you used the, you know, knocking on the door analogies, because so many times, especially as Black Americans, the doors just seems to be cemented shut to us. And so I love the filmmaker and director Ava DuVernay. She says, if you don't have a seat at the table, or if there isn't a door made for you, build your own door. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's what you did with Caleb in the quarantine. You didn't find, you didn't seek what you wanted. You didn't, I guess, find what you were seeking out in the public. So you created it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we have right now in 2022, 2023, that kids don't have, which is the opportunity to really create from seed to bloom of what it is that they see in their dreams. And so I love that you took it and you ran with it. Mm-hmm. Is there anything right now you see with our teens that they have going on in their lives that you wish maybe back in the 90s that you had as a young teen growing up? Anything along those lines maybe?
I mean, certainly the platform to be able to have their voices heard.
Yes.
That's huge. Or to be able to just do whatever they feel is missing, to be able to contribute whatever they feel is missing. There's as you know, the internet is wide open, you know, for us to be able to share what we feel like needs to be out there, to reach out to whomever, to make known what it is in our hearts and minds. And so I mean, it's readily
right. The internet could be a blessing and it could be a curse. True. I used to tell my students, 20 years ago that we're on the downside of the internet. And they were like, nah, we have everything. It's at our fingertips. What are you talking about? We don't even need the old brick computers that you had growing up. And I'm like, well, because now that it's a monster, how do you put it back in the box? Mm-hmm. How do we put the controls on it, like digital right. citizenship and cyberbullying and all that stuff like that? Because our kids now, they still are kids, and kids make mistakes sometimes,
right.
but the internet is forever.
Yeah.
And so you'll put it out there and you'll think and you'll something. Delete it and nobody saw that. No, there's someone always watching the mm-hmm. internet. So I think that's the mixed blessing of what kids have now that we didn't have in our time growing up in the 80s and 90s. That is a double-edged sword.
Absolutely.
And so I like the fact that you respect the students' voice and the platforms and what they have as far as the advantages of the internet, but definitely we have to be cautious nowadays. But to wrap up this little interview, I enjoy speaking with you as always and you taking the time. So I want to put this out there. Who was your favorite Arthur? Did you have a favorite Arthur when you were a teen or in grade school coming up?
It was and is Langston Hughes. Was and is, yeah. I do a lot of creative writing mm-hmm. and poetry. His poetry is amazing. Mother to Son is one I do with my students quite a bit. And Thank You, Ma'am
yes.
is one that we're getting to this year. And I just love his writing style. I love how bold he was and unapologetic in what he wrote, and it was just beautifully done, and I love sharing his writing with my students.
Absolutely. As you know, I am a fan of Langston Hughes. We actually have, for our audience out there, we have a mascot who's a mannequin in our library, and his name is Langston, and he's named after your famed and beloved Arthur and poet, Langston mm-hmm. Hughes. So we have a lot of love for Langston Hughes in our library.
Yeah.
Miss Blue, I wanted to thank you for your time, for coming in here and sharing with us your love for the writing process, and of course promoting your fabulous book, Caleb and the Quarantine, teen spelled T-E-E-N. I will have the information out there on the website. I thank you so much, my audience, for listening. And you have a beautiful day. Get out there and get lit with literacy. Thank you so much. This is Awakened Librarian signing off.